Welcome to Gardening Talk back on 2NURFM. Greg Richard, joined today once again by Judy Sharp. Thanks for coming in, Judy.
And thank you for coming in, Greg.
That's all right. I was away last week.
I know. That's why I'm having a little shot at you.
Fair enough.
Sorry about that.
The A-team's back this week.
The A-team's back, yeah, definitely.
Well, what do you got lined up for us today, Judy?
Okay, let's talk about hippiestrums. Let's talk about clivias. What about tomatoes?
Do you have to worry about tomatoes in winter?
Oh, we'll go down that track when we get there. You hang in there. And what about indoor plants? We've done it a little bit on the program, but, you know, we really need to address that today on another tack, not about watering.
Yep.
And we're going to do something with azaleas, and then we're going to talk about no rain.
Fair enough. And we've got Anthony from the Junction, and he's got a question about maidenhair ferns.
Good morning. Good afternoon, Anthony. Sorry.
Hello, Judy. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you. That's a familiar voice.
I wonder why.
Oh, okay. Tell me a little bit more about your maidenhair ferns.
Well, I've got a maidenhair fern that I've inherited.
Right.
That's been around for about 45 years.
Right.
And how often does it need water? Does it need fertilising? And if so, what sort of fertiliser should I use?
Now, Anthony, have you have olives that you have trouble with?
Olives?
Yes.
No.
Oh, right, okay, that's fine. Just checking up.
I have lots of people that like olives.
Right, okay, uh-huh.
Well, before they order their lunch.
Okay, well, let's check up on your maidenhair fern now. So how often are you watering it, Anthony?
About once a week. I did hear a little whisper that they do like wet feet, but...
Really? No, not in this weather. Of course they do. Anthony, I hope you're pulling my leg. You're only watering it once a week, and have you got any heating on?
Well, it's inside.
Oh, yeah, but you must have heating on, unless you're made of tough stuff at the moment.
Well, I am made of tough stuff, Judy, you know that. But my maidenhair fern is in quite a large pot.
Right.
And it loves its position, but someone told me the other day that it needs watering to the point where it has to have wet feet.
Well, this can be true, but Anthony, will I tell you my recipe for success? You water it every...
Does it have anything to do with goose poo?
No, you couldn't put goose poo on it, Anthony. Are you at work today?
No, I'm not. I'm in the car,
Jim. Oh, right. Okay, Anthony. Well, that's why your voice was a bit distorted, and it's lovely to have a celebrity ringing me today. I should tell the listeners you are just so well known in the Junction. You supervise all our drinking habits, don't you?
And your eating habits.
Oh, of course, yes. Okay, now you've broken the ice and I've worked out who you are. How is he going, my goose?
Your goose is going fabulously, although he is getting on a bit, Jude.
You're not going to cook him, are you, Anthony? Because I gave him to you for life.
Oh, no. I would never knock his head off, Jude. But if he died for some reason or other, maybe we could eat him then. What do you think?
No, don't. I want him buried, Anthony, buried. Okay, back to your maidenhair problem. So please water it every second day.
Yep.
Okay, and then on the alternate days, you're going to get a spray bottle and spray it all over. Because where you live, I know you've probably got fires on and it's drying out. Have you got that?
Well, yes.
Okay, so what are we going to do? Repeat it to me, please, Anthony.
Well, I'm going to cook Bruce. No, I'm not. I'm going to water it every second day. So by watering it every second day, should I pop it out of its saucer and onto the sink and water it till...
No. Just leave it in its saucer. Don't get carried away there, Anthony. You're not pulling beers or anything or wines now at the tavern. Okay, and then what are you going to do on the alternate days?
I'm going to get my Evian spray and I'm going to spray it and mist it.
Very good. Okay. Well, will you ring us back and let us know how it's surviving in the next couple of weeks? We'd love to hear from you again, Anthony.
Oh, dude, I barely slept last night knowing that you were going to be on the radio today.
Well, now all the listeners know that you know me too well.
All right.
Take care of my baby goose.
I will.
Thank you for the call, Anthony. Bye.
Bye.
It's Gardening Talk back on 2NURFM. Goose fat's great for roast potatoes. Just pointing that out, by the way.
Honestly, Greg. Do you want me to leave right now? I can, you know. I've got my car out there.
Oh, we've got a few more calls to go, Judy.
Okay, righty, I'll stay. I'll stay.
It's Gardening Talk back on 2NURFM. We've got Michael from Cessnock, and he's got a rose over 100 years old. It's sprouting new leaves.
Oh, Michael, how fascinating. Was it a family heirloom?
Yeah, well, it is. It is, apparently. I mean, I've seen photos of it. We've had photos. This is my great-grandmother's house, and we've got photos from the olden days and all these plants. My great-uncle Johnny had roses going all the way along the fence, up to both sides. And over time, it's not sprouting new leaves. What it's sprouting a whole new bush sort of thing. We thought the roses dead. There was only two left for years, and we wanted to put a hedge along there. So we took them two roses that were left out and put them into pots. One died, and I thought the second one here died. I'm sitting in front of it now, and I thought this one died too, and we just pushed it away on the side of the veranda in a pot and just left it there. And anyway, over time, it started sprouting a whole new rose. That's what it is, right beside it. So I don't water it. I've been told you don't water roses and that too much. So every now and again, I dip a little bucket in me dog water and tip it onto the pot, but only every couple of weeks. And I thought in winter, well, you don't even need to do that. Do I need to be watering it more?
Yeah, well, Michael, you definitely do. I was going to address that later in the program, that it's very drying at the moment. Surprisingly, yeah. We've had so much rain, but that westerly wind, which I presume you get at Cessnock in a big way.
Yeah, it's very dry. I've got my finger in. I've got my
yeah, hand it's in drying out. No, I'd be giving that rose a drink each week. But could I go one step further? Is that rose shooting below the graft?
Is that rose shooting below the graft, did you say?
Yes, definitely.
It's next to it. It's right next to it.
Well, I think it's what it's going to do. I'm pretty sure, Michael, it's going to be shooting up from old stock that it was grafted onto. So I don't know what the flowers were. Can you remember?
No, I just remember, like I said, by the time I bought the place, there was only sort of like two left. One didn't have a smell, but this one had big bulbs and you could smell it. You could smell it from 10 feet away sort of thing. And like I said, I thought it was dead when we took it out of the ground and put it in a plot.
Well, the bad news is, Michael, I don't think it's going to be that rose you remember. It's going to be the rose that they grafted onto. I'm pretty sure that's the story.
Right. It's going to make its mind up what it wants to be, is it?
Yeah, so let's just let it grow and do the watering regularly and maybe give it a little bit of sudden impact to feed it up.
I've pushed it back into the sun, so it's on the edge of the vent. So the rose that was there now, it's only probably the dead part. Whatever was there now, that looks all dead to me. Do I cut that off now or do I just leave it be for now?
Look, I'd prune it back a little bit and see if that stimulates flowering on that cutting on that shoot. Okay. Then you might get both the old rose and the new rose growing in the one pot with a bit of luck. Yeah, so let's try that. But I'm a bit worried, Michael, that you've got them in shelter and now you're going to put it out to get the frost because you're going to get frost still.
Oh, no, I've put it out. Once it was up, I pushed it on the veranda and pushed it away. And when it started sprouting again, when I could see, because I thought it was just, I just thought it was weed at first. And then I thought, so now it's been in the sun now since March, I suppose. And it's only got to about 6 inches and it hasn't grown over winter. It hasn't grown any more.
No, well, it wouldn't, of course. But tell me, you would have had frost through and it hasn't burnt the rose?
No, it hasn't. No, there was a big frost here this morning. Windscreen was filthy this morning. But it was, it's out of, it's in the sun, it's in the sun all the time. It's on the veranda and it's, It's covered. The veranda's covered.
Oh, right. But okay. Well, that's, yeah, that's solved the frost problem anyway.
Yeah. It shouldn't get the frost on that where it is. Shouldn't get the frost. But it gets sun pretty much where I am. I get sun all day here pretty much. As soon as it gets up in the sky enough and drops down low enough over broken back. But it's, I get enough sun here all day and it's out of the frost.
Well, that's wonderful, Michael. So let's do that. Prune it back a little bit. Start the watering again. And yep, give us a ring, in 2 or 3 weeks and let us know what's emerged.
So it's this real dry now, and we did put some rose mix and stuff in it and all that sort of stuff just to see, but I didn't want to burn it.
You won't burn it. No, not as long as you're using a slow release. Don't use rose food on it or manure.
No, or rose food, well, that's what we got. So don't use that.
Well, you could in a very small dose, that's all. Yeah, very small dose. Okay.
I don't know where it is now. Thanks, Judy. All right, thank you very much.
You are so welcome, Michael. Thank you.
Right now. Thank you.
Okay. Bye.
Thanks, Michael. It's Gardening Talk back on 2NURFM. If you've got any questions for Judy Sharp, you can give us a call on 49216 216. Judy, you're looking at strawberries this morning as well. Sorry, you took a big sip of water.
Sorry, long conversation with Michael. I lost my voice for a minute. Yeah. Now, strawberries, why are you doubting that you'd do something for strawberries now?
Well, that's why I'm asking. Why would you do something for strawberries now?
No, I thought you were doubting it.
No.
Look, very simply, it's time to plant new strawberries.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. So it is time to plant new strawberries. And look, I wouldn't fertilise the soil. Wait till they're growing a little bit and, of course, give them a drink unless, we get more storms along the way. But, it's a very simple instruction. It's time to plant out new strawberries.
And as you just mentioned, watering garden beds as well, probably should be doing that a bit more often now.
Oh, definitely.
Seeing how dry it's been for the last week or so. And I don't think there's any rain coming this week.
No, and isn't it going to be hotter, I believe? So it is time to water the garden beds. My standard roses were pruned the weekend before last, and I went out yesterday and they're very dry, and I should be watering now to get them to shoot again.
All right.
Otherwise I might lose them, and that wouldn't be very good for my reputation.
No,
would it?
It wouldn't.
You'd bring it up, wouldn't you, Greg?
It would be a big stain against you,
It would, it would.
And we've got Victoria from Hamilton South, and she's looking to buy a bark for a potted climbing plant.
Oh, hi, Victoria.
Hello, how are you, Judy?
I'm very well, and yourself?
I'm good, thank you.
That's excellent. Now, what kind of climbing plant have you?
I have a golden poppus.
Oh, right. Now, is that inside or out?
No, it's an inside. I do have it inside. I think I can have it outside, but it is a climber, as I said, and I have a piece of bark in it, in the pot, that it's clinging to, but I can't seem to buy that bark anywhere else. So because I wanted to put grow another piece in another pot.
Right, okay. Now, that one's a problem. You can buy totems, they're called, and they're very, very well made. They're made from probably some kind of peat and bark, and they do have a steel piece or a stronger piece in the centre, which that kind of plant does need to maintain it because they get very heavy, as you know.
That's correct, yes.
But, look, I think it's a case, honestly, Victoria, getting on the telephone and ringing around. So you're looking for a totem pot stake.
A totem pot stake.
Stake, okay. Yeah. And I think I would start really with the nurseries.
Oh, okay, right. Yes.
Okay, yep. Okay, yes. And I'd sit on the phone and ring around and ask the question. That's easily solved your problem, isn't it?
Yes, that's good. That's right, yes.
Yeah.
I just tried Bunnings. I thought perhaps Bunnings would have them, but I've had no luck.
Well, as I was trying to say, it's probably a specialist thing. We certainly did have them, but I think...
Because years ago you saw them in lots of tanks, didn't you?
We did, yes, we did. Probably if you want to go closer to home, try some of the ones closer to home, and then if it fails, then you might have to ring someone up in the valley a little bit.
Right, okay.
One of the big ones, if you know what I mean.
Yes, okay. Yeah, wonderful. Thank you very much for your help, Judy.
That's okay, Victoria. Sounds like you've got some company there. Got a little doggy?
Yes, I do. A little chihuahua.
Oh, right. A little chihuahua. They can be fun.
Oh, yes, he is. He likes to yap.
Could I bring around my Boston to meet him?
Oh, you have the Boston, do you?
Yeah. Now Victoria will definitely diverse, but we do have other callers waiting, so let me know if you don't get one anyway, and I'll see what I can chase up for you.
Right, wonderful. Thank you very much, Judy. Have a lovely day.
You too, Victoria. Thank you for the call.
Thank you. Bye.
We've got Brian now from Thornton. He's got a question about chili trees.
Hello, Brian.
Hey, Judy, how are you?
I'm extremely well, and what about you?
Oh, I'm pretty good, thanks.
But, that's excellent.
My wife makes chili choco pickles.
Chili choco pickles.
Yes, she does. Mm. And she makes plain choco pickles and tomato relish and that. But the chili plants, she's got about six in pots. And they get the morning sun, but they started to go real light green and the leaves are falling off and they look pretty sad. I don't know what to do with them, whether to repot them or start again or what the go is.
Look, Brian, you are so lucky today because I have a chili specialist here in the studio with me.
Do you?
Well, I do.
Right.
Greg. Now, Greg knows the answer to chilies. That's all he grows, Brian. But I'm guessing,
maybe I should have just rung Greg.
Possibly, yeah.
I'm thinking, Brian, that it's the cold, but I might hand you over to Greg. Is that all right?
I think you're right on the money there, Judy. Fine. I think you're right. It's probably the cold.
It's the cold.
I thought
it was when Brian said they were going black. So what should he be doing, Greg? Taking it in under shelter or?
Yep.
And, you can tell Brian is so well informed. Now, are they all in one pot? Six plants in one pot?
No, they're all in separate pots.
Oh, right, okay. Well, let's move them. Have you got a nice sheltered veranda, maybe with a little bit of sun coming in?
Yeah, put them under the carport.
Yeah, because honestly, the wind has been wreaking havoc. And have you been watering them each day?
Well, no, they haven't been watered. No, because we'd had so much rain, we hadn't sort of worried about watering them, but it's probably time to start.
Yeah,
again,
that's a bit
of
a trap, yeah. I think everyone's fallen for that trap, Brian, I haven't watered my roses, which desperately are needing it now. So, yeah, a little bit of a warm spot in under shelter, but don't overwater them because Greg, our expert, said they don't like the cold, so they wouldn't like to be too wet. Is that correct, Greg?
I'd imagine so.
Oh, right, okay. Yeah. He knows all about it, Brian.
Fertiliser. What should I fertilise them as yet or just wait a bit longer or?
It's your turn, Greg.
Is it? I don't know.
What do you do with yours?
I put potash. What is it? Sulfate potash or?
Oh, sulfate of potash. That's Scott's favourite product, isn't it?
Well, that's the one he recommended to me.
And it works?
Occasionally it does work.
Until you get those cockchafer grubs up there eating the roots. Yeah. Yeah, Brian, I hope that's helped you. Definitely sulfate of potash. I'd get some sulfate of potash and start feeding them up because I know your wife's going to make, what was it, chili?
Chili choco pickles, yeah.
Chili choco pickles. I think, Greg, we wouldn't mind trying that.
I'm not a big choco person.
Well, I can try.
The choco's only a filler.
Oh, right, okay.
It takes on all the flavours of the herbs and all that she puts in. You know what I mean? Like a lot of people say, I hate chocos. My mum made me eat them when I was little, you know. And she sells them at Maitland Markets and she puts a little bit on a biscuit and gives them a taste.
Oh, she's clever.
Not 9 out of 10 people that taste it normally buy a bottle.
Right. So if Greg went to Maitland Markets, he could buy a bottle and bring it down for me.
Certainly could.
Okay. Well, I'll send him up there, Brian, but we've got to get that underway for you if she's, you know, making a little bit of interest out of it.
Yeah, she's got heaps in the freezer. She freezes her chilies.
Right.
But I just don't want to lose the plants, that's all, because we've had them a while and they're pretty good harvesters, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Brian, can you ring us in a couple of weeks and let Greg and I know if they've survived?
Certainly. Yep, I can do that.
Okay. Thank you, Brian, for the call. Couple of weeks, we'll hear from you.
No worries. Thanks again.
Thank you. Bye.
And we've got Leslie from Brankston. She's got a question about hydrangeas.
Oh, good afternoon, Leslie.
Good afternoon to you, Judy, too. I have some rather old, they were my mum's, two of them, hydrangeas, beside a couple of other new ones of my own. But I just wondered, they were funny this last season. The leaves looked different on the older ones to what they normally do, and they didn't produce the flower as much. I'm a horrible gardener. I don't know much about gardening. But now they have... they look all lovely and healthy now, but they've all got the leaves still on them. Should I cut the leaves all off or not?
Oh, Leslie, I'm going to give this a lot of consideration. You get frost up there, don't you?
Yes. We've been lucky this year so far.
Yeah.
We haven't had as many, but I think we had one this morning.
Yeah. Look, I think I'd be inclined to wait until that passes for you, maybe till August. Are your hydrangeas putting out two shoots, you know, two eyes opposite one another?
Yes, I don't know about opposite one another, but they are putting out the shoots.
Yeah, well, look, I always believe if you prune where there are two opposite one another, you get better results.
Okay.
So it won't hurt you to wait a little while. Now, I'm just wondering why those leaves are getting distorted.
Yes, I don't know what it was, but they seem to... be a lot better now, but it was just this one particular, and it is rather large. It's in a pot, and it's very old. Well, I can remember it when I was a child, which was 100 years ago.
Oh, it's surely only 30 years ago.
I'd like to say that, Judy. so I don't know. They just seemed narrower and, funny looking. Yeah, not as green, but as I said, they seem to be a lot better now. So I don't know what the reason was. The year before, they were all beautiful and I had heaps of flowers on them, but this time, this one didn't produce the flower very well.
Right. Okay, Leslie, I think while we're chatting, you gave me the hint.
What's that about?
Well, the hint is in a pot.
Oh, okay.
So in a pot, you could have cockchafer grubs under there chewing the roots.
Oh.
So it wouldn't hurt you while they're going dormant to dig it out, wait a little while, but dig it out and just check. You know what they look like, the cockchafers?
No, I wouldn't have a clue.
They're white like a witchetty grub.
Right.
And they eat the roots. And my partner in crime here, Greg, he lost some of his chilies to the witchetty grubs. So he had to throw them all out and repot. And apply carbaryl. Yeah, worked, didn't it?
Yeah, they're gone.
They're gone.
For the time being.
So, Leslie, let's do that. When the weather isn't quite as harsh on you, if you dig that pot out and ring us back and let us know then what you're seeing at the bottom of that pot in the roots.
Okay, I'll do that. I have been going to repot it, but it's so big. As I said, I'm a terrible gardener.
Yeah, but that's all right. You can still dig around the roots if you don't want to repot it.
No, I did want to repot it because I bought a larger pot.
Oh, right, okay. Well, let's wait just a little bit. But if it looks really troublesome or unhappy, well, then we might have to do that sooner. So, you dig around there or dig it out or do your transplanting and ring when we're on air and we'll see what the problem
is.
Yep.
All right. Thank you, Judy.
Thank you very much for the call, Leslie. Bye.
Bye-bye.
You'll know when you see those things as well, when you start digging in.
Oh, yeah, they're so awful. Yeah, they squirmy and wormy, aren't
they? They're not pleasant ones.
No, they're dreadful. They really are dreadful.
I don't think the magpies even like them that much as well. They're a bit... their beaks up at me when I threw them on the road. They weren't happy about it.
But everyone always smiles when I tell them that the Christmas beetles start laying them.
Oh, really?
I thought I told you that before.
Oh, you might have, but now that's made me upset about the Christmas beetle.
No, but then they lay the pupa and then they hatch out over, you know, they don't always hatch out at Christmas time.
Mm.
They wait till you've put in juicy chilies or something, yeah.
All right, we've got Cole now from Salt Ash. Speaking of chilies, he's got some chili plant advice for us.
Good on you, Cole, because Greg's lacking it today. You heard that, didn't you? So you knew you had to ring.
Give him a bit of a jerk. Snap him back into gear, Judy.
Yeah, okay, I'll just see what I've got to hit him with. Okay, fire away.
Nothing
now,
sharp.
Now, I grow a lot of chilies, about 50 plants a year for about the last 5 or 6 years. And for your mate, Brian, if he cuts the plant back to half, get rid of any dead wood out of it, and possibly the best idea is to just pull them out and start again. But the reason for that is that my Thai friends have advised me that chilies lose their intensity each year. So that's why they replant them all the time.
They got hotter the longer they were, but after all this.
No, they don't. They lose their intensity as each year. And so that's why you replant them each year if you can. Now, they do have your problem with your pots, with your grubs in them. Mm. And Judy's son is right on the money with the sulfate of potash.
He did something right.
a good nitrogen fertilizer early in their life, or if you're going to leave them in the pot, now's the time to give them some nitrogen fertilizer and then go on to more fruiting and the sulfate of potash. But I start off my seeds about August. Start off your seeds. So grab a seed, dry it out on a piece of paper, on a paper towel,
yep.
And start them off about mid-August. Inside, if you can, in a sunny spot inside, you know, get them growing, and then you'll have chilies by Christmas.
Now, Cole, could I just pose this question to you, if you wouldn't mind, because you definitely have the knowledge. But the gentleman I was talking to, I had a feeling that there was some kind of heritage or a chili that they'd had for some time that they don't want to lose. So what's the story then? Because if they're already black and dead, how can he get seeds now off that? It's too late, isn't it?
Well, he did say that he had some in the freezer.
Oh, yeah, I think it was made up into jam, but it'd be too late, wouldn't it?
No. I think you'll find it.
Oh, had
you? Yeah.
Oh, right, okay.
Get your seeds out of it, and you'll find one somewhere on the ground, or they'll self-seed on the ground around the pots. Anywhere like that. But if he's got a whole one, just dry it on a piece of paper towel and get them in the ground again.
Oh, look, I'm hoping he's still listening, Cole.
He probably would be. He'd only collar it right through.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Look, thank you. I really appreciate when someone rings up with a lot of knowledge because, you know, everyone has a different way of handling plants, particularly vegetables, etc. And some are tried and true and some are like yourself. You've got it all nailed in one. Thank you, Cole, for the call, dear. That's wonderful.
Okay, good luck.
Thank you. Bye.
That's all for Gardening Talk Back on 2NURFM.
Thanks for listening to this podcast from 2NURFM at the University of Newcastle. Topics range from gardening to health, well-being, pet care, finance, business and travel. You'll find them all at 2NURFM.com.